Name of one God, Holy Trinity. Amen. I don't know if y'all know it, but when John's Jesus says, "Now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world," the "they" is us. And it's funny that he says this in this particular place in the gospel. It comes in what's known as the farewell discourse. It's a pretty packed section of teaching about the nature and character of God and how God intends to occupy the world from here on out. That's not, as some Christians believe, a sort of before Jesus and after Jesus side by side, but an acknowledgement of how God works and has always been working in the world, and an explanation of God's main tool, God's principal partner, God's nearest companion in effecting the creating, nurturing love work that's more than God's business plan, but a part of God's very identity. God's nearest companion in this work is you and me, is y'all, is us. So we might resist that, maybe. Maybe we don't have that opinion of ourselves. We're just a bunch of simple country folk from a cow town tourist trap in western Wyoming, the least populated state in the United States of America. I mean, we only have one real Starbucks and nobody goes to it, one McDonald's, a movie theater and a half, and we're 100 miles from the nearest mall. Or maybe it's just too daunting to be the most readily used and preferred tool in the toolbox of the author and creator of the universe. Maybe you're thinking, "Hey, Jimmy, you know, could you cool it with the partner talk? I'm under enough pressure as it is, amigo." And to that, I would just respond, "Hey, not my idea, God's. Don't blame the messenger." But thinking back on my own life, it's funny how tentatively, and you know, I have a distinct advantage in this work because I'm a religious professional, so I get paid to do this kind of work that we're talking about. But it's funny to think how tentatively I have received such power and blessing and love in my own life. We have this line this morning that's so compelling. It's so beautiful. "All mine are yours, and yours are mine." This unbreakable bond to God, inseparable. This inheritance that we have. This vision of what really living looks like. This incredible amount of privilege, work we're made to do, this unending resource we have with which to effect the work before us. "All mine are yours, and yours are mine." All. And yet it's hard, right? I mean, yes, of course we're included, and of course we're beloved, but we weren't the ones who are made for the big stuff. Yes, we were, according to Jesus, at least. And I was thinking this week what our time might look like if we really felt this truth from Scripture, from the biblical text, if we really felt like it applied to us, to our lives. And I was thinking of how we might walk around and occupy space in the world, and what even maybe a Sunday morning would look like if we were able to get to that place of "All mine are yours, and yours are mine." Thinking, is there anything that looks like this that I've seen somewhere before? And the closest thing I could think of was the opening ceremony to Olympic Games. There's just so much drama and momentum and anticipation, and the athletes parade in with such confidence, even the ones who know they'll never stand on a podium, but they stride in with such confidence and these huge smiles, shared companionship with other athletes, those from their own delegations and from those from other countries. There must be such an incredible amount of shared excitement and accomplishment amongst the mass of athletes gathered for an Olympic ceremony. And I couldn't help but think that we do have our own opening ceremony every single week at 10 a.m. with acolytes and choir and chalice bearers and prayers and clergy. For almost 100 years, it happened every Sunday in our chapel in the same way. Admittedly, we don't process with the same momentum, the same enthusiasm as Olympic athletes, but would we? Could we? If we picked up what we've been given by God and occupied this space that's been built for us. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. This place of connectedness, a place of deep partnership, companionship, community with God and each other, this place of deep provision for flourishing lives, this place of really living. Many of you know I had the privilege of traveling to Cuba to visit the people of Santa Maria Magdalena and Favorito over the course of the last 10 days. I was also able to spend some time with the folks from the diocesan offices, including their bishop, Bishop Griselda, who has a particularly soft spot in her heart for you, for our church. And I'm sure as I have the opportunity to process that experience more deeply, I'll have plenty more to say about that incredible visit. But I just want to share just one thing with you that really set me to thinking this week. When we traveled back to Havana on our way back home, we had an opportunity to visit the Museum of the Revolution. The museum is a collection of artifacts and photographs and stories from Cuba's communist revolution that took place in the 50s and early 60s of the last century. And as I moved through that exhibit, I had the chance to read several excerpts from moving speeches made by Fidel Castro and Che Guevara and Camilo Cienfuegos. And it may come as some surprise to some of us, but it's true that their words were filled with the most beautiful ideals and meaningful values and bold aspirations for the people of Cuba. Their words were lovely and inspiring, and they carried with them a sense of marshaling momentum. They resonated then and now, even in stark contrast to how those values have not been effectively embodied in their country since. And I thought about this privileged life that I lead, more than 40 Sundays a year, and almost every other Wednesday. I have this great professional privilege to stand up here in this place and to talk to you, to preach to you, to share the gospel, to tell you how much you are loved by God, to try to explain what great power you have, to encourage each of us to leave any fear we might have behind and spread love to as many people as we possibly can, and then to spread it some more, and then to do even more. Like, what a great gig. But if what I or anyone else in this place, past or present or future, if what we talk about up here with all of our hearts, if it's not put into practice, if it isn't embodied, then the exercise is for naught. And we should put our heads around other ways of calling our community into action. And that's your job, the action. A few of us have this sacred privilege to do our best to put this God love life to words, but each and every one of you has the sacred privilege of putting it into action. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, Jesus reminds us. We have everything to affect this mission, to put it into action, to make it real. Not just everything we need, but everything. We have every little and big thing, everything. And this is what we were built for. It's what we are made for. It's not a part of the plan. It is the plan. If there need be a revolution here or anywhere else, let it be one of love. Let it be characterized by a group of people like us leaning courageously toward our truest identity as beloved, made in the very image of love, who we know to be God. Let the work that comes out of that experience be one of seeking to communicate to each and every that he, that she, that they, that we, and even them are loved beyond measure. Let that work be characterized by mercy rather than violence, by courage rather than fear. And let me be clear. Let me try to use my voice as a newish leader in this community, but one who loves this place more than any place I have ever experienced. We do not come here on Sunday mornings to march in procession or to recite beautiful and poetic prayers or to listen to world-class musicians or even to return our lives to some grounded normalcy. We come to this place to be prepared for the work we were born for and nurtured for. The work is to spread love in the millions of ways that you might uniquely conceive. Make a to-do list. Get out of your comfort zone. Take hold of your God-given birthright, and don't forget to call your mother. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Amen.